Once again, good morning, church. Last week, do you remember the topic that we presented to you last week? The tools of malice. Today, to make a proper balance, we have the tools of the opposite, which is the opposite of malice, goodness, holiness. So this is, Peter presents to us here basically a commandment. But now you must be holy in everything that you do. Every action, everything that you do, that you think about, that you're involved with, must be driven by the concept of being holy. We will define as best we can what holiness means. Today's message, then, we entitle The Tools of Holiness. First, what is holiness? If you ask someone who is a Roman Catholic, or if you ask somebody that can care less one way or the other, will say, oh, that's the Bishop of Rome. I heard the presidents of the United States to go and bow down before him, two or three of them even kiss his ring, and said, Your Holiness, address them, and they really like that title. Believe me, they really like that title. And there are a lot of people who do not proclaim to be Catholic or Christian or anything else, still address him with that title. Why? Because they think that it's just a title. I was talking to someone, and I was trying to comfort someone because a family member died. And this person that I was talking to is a Seventh-day Adventist. But because this person is also a nurse and works with all the priests and everything else, by the time we finish our talk, she says, thank you, Father. I mean, Pastor. So the habit of sometimes we say things just as a matter of habit. And many people call him holiness as just a matter of habit without even think about what that implies. Also, Orthodox patriarchs, they are called holiness as well. That is a typical practice. And the Dalai Lama has been always, and there are other leaders of, around the world that use this title, and people use this title to address them. So, but that's not the kind of holiness that we are talking about. We don't want a holiness just for our name or a title. And sometimes people think about holiness as just being something, I belong to this group, therefore I entitled to use the same title. What is a biblical holiness? To be set apart. That basically is what defines to be saint. Saint or holiness, the same word. So to set apart. But not to set apart just like you separate something that you don't like it. Set apart with a purpose to belong. There's no holiness without belonging. Okay, let's make sure that you have this in your mind. There's no holiness without belonging. People that are trying to obtain holiness or use a title of holiness without belonging, it is not correct or blameless. A state of belonging to God. Sometimes people have a tendency to believe that human beings have the power to make things holy. I don't know how many of you have seen people, and then think that is holy. Or take a little water and then, now this is holy, that became holy too. And I'm not making fun of anybody, okay? Please don't take me wrong. My intent here is not to criticize anybody, but it's the simplicity that people sometimes are constrained their mind to assume that holiness is so little. Humans cannot make anything holy. Only God can make things holy. Humans, when assume they can make holy, they grab a day that is in paganism and make it holy. They claim it's holy. They take an individual, they take a position, and they pray and do something, and they think it's holy. We cannot, as humans, make anything holy. Only God, who is holy, can share holiness. Holiness is not something that you grab and possess and control. Holiness is something that comes upon you and is supposed to control you. You don't control holiness. Holiness should be what you are, something that controls your actions, your motivation, your purpose in life. Acts of perfect morality. We live in a day, in a time and age that people are very nervous with people that wants to be right. Have you noticed that when you are trying to be right, there are a lot of attacks? It's okay to attack somebody who wants to be good, but it's not okay to attack somebody who is doing something wrong, because that will be discrimination. And so this is the society that we're living in. People are despising holiness, a reflection of God's image, character. Every single aspect of holiness involves attributes of God. There's no holiness without likeness to God. I hope you're grasping all those concepts. A life of holiness and total devotion to God. That's basically what holiness is all about. Now have this in mind. We're going to look into some holy texts. God is holy. Completely. There is no evil in him. It's not possible. Satan has infiltrated many religions and have distorted the character of God and has mixed holy things with unholy. I don't mean to criticize, but there is a group that does not eat blood and does not take blood in their veins. Don't say the name, Brother Jet. Don't say, okay? I know you know. Our purpose here is not to, but there is a group there, and they are very, very, you know, they are very strong on that view. I met a family, and I asked, I said, may I ask the question? Why don't you eat blood? And I knew why. But it was a trick that I was trying. I don't mean a very problem, but I used that to drive them to the next point. All because the Bible says so. And I said, as a matter of fact, Leviticus 11. And Leviticus 11 has a whole list of stuff. How come you pick only that one? Oh, we gotta go. They take off. When people do not want to reason, you cannot be holy as just a fact of things that you choose to do and not do. Holiness has nothing to do with do and don'ts. It is about being like God. God is perfect. And the word perfect in the Bible is used also to mean holy. Okay? Like Jesus Christ says, be perfect as your Father is perfect. He is quoting Leviticus 19, which says, be holy as your Father is holy. So perfection and holiness, they are synonymous. God created us in his image. And God does not want us to look like anybody else, but like to look like him. You know, sometimes we have a child, or some relatives have a child, and the discussion all the time, who does he look like? Isn't that the way you keep always talking? Who does he look like? Oh, he looks like his mom. Oh, no, I think he looks like his dad. My grandson, until he got his hair, everybody said that he was looking like me. Now that he has hair, he looks like his father. That's the way it goes. So, but the intent of God is for us always to look like Him. Look like Him, not just like the way we appear outside, but to have His character, to have His holiness. We were created to share His holiness and also His perfection. That's what we are created for. Do you desire to be like your Heavenly Father? Do you spend time during the day or even before you pray? Do this. Do this as a practice. Before you pray, it says, Lord, I would like to be like you. Would you give me your eyes today so I can see good? I can search for goodness. Would you allow me to use your ears so I can hear what is good, so I can search for what is good? Lord, would you allow me to have your palate so I'll be driven to eat what is good, so what will bring good in me will make me good. Many people want good health, and yet they eat a lot of bad stuff. It doesn't work that way. Garbage come in, garbage out, in every sense. Pray every day for holiness. Make that the desire to be like your Heavenly Father. Ask God to help you to be holy. Confess, pray, and repent. And there you have a good heart that is working CPR. You know? Confess, pray, and repent. And that is the path towards holiness in a world that is sinful. The pursuit of holiness involves this: acknowledgement of sin, biblical repentance, commitment to reparation. I'll call this the ABC of holiness. The ABC of holiness, again, acknowledge of sin, biblical repentance, not just like, oh, I'm sorry. Have you noticed in our culture how easy people say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about, I don't know, I just said I'm sorry. People say I'm sorry even before you finish your sentence. You call someone on the phone and talk to a customer service. You'd be amazed how many I'm sorry they say even before you get them to understand or even to listen to you. Sometimes they don't listen to you. You don't even finish a sentence and they say, I'm sorry, but that's the policy. I'm sorry, but that's the way you agree. I'm sorry. No, you are not sorry. Why say that you're sorry when you don't mean? So it is biblical repentance means when you repent according to the Bible repentance means to think different. You are thinking this way and that is taking you away from God. You turn your way of thinking. You start thinking different, just like Apple says, think different. You know, it's a way you think. That's what repentance is. It's a thought process. Many people think that repentance has to do with what we do, has to do more with what we think, and our thinking lead us to action. Commitment to reparation. By the way, if somebody takes $100 from you, and say to you, I'm so sorry. I should have never done this to you. And you keep looking for, where is the $100 back? Oh, I'm so sorry. I apologize. I should never have done this to you. Where is the $100 back? And even if the person gives you $100, the person has not have made a complete commitment to repentance. You know why? Because when somebody takes $100 from you, it hurts you. And the best way for that individual to show evidence of repentance is to give $200 back to you. And say, here is the cost of here is what belongs to you. Here's the cost of what I have done to you. That's reparation. Repentance has to be followed with reparation before God and before human beings. Always. So when you ask somebody to forgive you, be committed. Think about how much are you willing to pay to acquire forgiveness. Confess, pray, and repent. Oops. Go ahead. Acknowledge. Oh, that's the other one. I went too fast. Our Creator desires us. What in the world? Our Creator desires for us the eternal joy that comes from holiness. Eternal joy that comes from holiness. Only holiness gives us joy. Only holiness gives us joy. Because joy is a condition of the heart. Paul wrote, God didn't call us to be immoral, but to be dedicated to Him. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7. This is a common English Bible version. God did not call us to be immoral or unclean or filthy. Some version says unclean. Some version says filthy, sexually speaking. It says God did not call us to be immoral, but to be dedicated to Him. That's the only way we can be holy. God chose us to be holy. Yes, He did. He does not want us to live in sin. That is 1 Thessalonians 4, 7. It's easy reading version. Now, don't copy the behavior or customs of this world. And this is what happens a lot today. But let God transform you into a new person. But change the way you think. Repentance, remember? The way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. And which is good and pleasing. And that word again, perfect. Romans 12, verse 2, New Living Translation. Now, even before He made the world, He had you in His mind. God loved us and chose us in Christ for what purpose? God chose us only with one purpose, is to be holy. What it means to be holy? To be like Him and without fault in His eyes. Ephesians 1 verse 4, New Living Translation. Our human fathers correct us for a short period of time. And some version says our earthly parents correct us for a short period of time. That's their responsibility to guide us. But then comes a time when we become adults. Then it says, and they do it as they think is best. But God correct us for our own good. Because He wants us to be holy as He is. That is the objective, the whole purpose. He works in us to be like Him. Hebrews 12 verse 10, contemporary English version. Pursue peace with everyone, if it's possible, of course. And also holiness. Your relationships have to be based in holiness, without which no one, can you read this with me? Without which no one will see the Lord. Unholiness cannot see God. That's why it's important for us to pursue holiness. Hebrews 12 verse 14, this is a New King James Version. Now being made free from sin, that's what a confession, that's what a grace makes possible, and have become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end is, of course, everlasting life. There is no everlasting life without holiness. We show our love for God. How? By becoming holy like Him, by obeying His commandments. And they are not as hard as some people claim to be. By the way, don't keep the commandments to become a child of God. Did I say that? Do not keep the commandments to go to heaven. Did I say that? Don't keep the commandments so you can belong to the remnant church. Did I say that? The only reason why you should keep the commandments is because you wish to be like Him. There's nothing more, you know, the beliefs of the church. I believe in all 28 beliefs of the church. I believe they are biblical and I stand by them with my faith. But being part of the church is more than just embrace a group of beliefs. The most important part of being part of God's people, it is the reflection of God's character. It is the number one subject in the last days. Who is God? Am I reflecting His will? Am I like Him? That will be the key element in a decision who is going to be saved. You must stop doing anything immoral or evil. Instead, be humble and accept the message planted in you to save you. The message is planted in you in order to make you holy, in order to save you. James 1, verse 21, Contemporary English Version as well. Now, Paul says, immorality or any kind of evil does what? Ephesians 5, verse 3, New Century Version says, are not right for God's holy people. I put just the last part of the verse. It says, are not right for God's holy people. God's holy people has nothing to do with what is against God's will. You cannot call God being a God's person and still act and live according to the standards of the world. Immorality or any kind of evil. He wants each of you to learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. I think you all understand precisely what this is saying, don't you? You're very quiet. Do you understand precisely what God is saying here through Paul? 1 Thessalonians 4:4, New Century Version. It says we need to control our own bodies, the passion, the desires, so that whatever we do is holy and honorable in our decisions. That is holiness. Therefore, my dear friends and brothers and sisters, since we have these promises, the promise of eternal life, let us purify ourselves from everything that can defile us, physically and mentally, either body or spirit. The spirit here is meaning the mind, okay? And it says, and strive to be completely holy. I have a question. Have you heard people say that it's not possible for us to be holy? Have you heard that before? There are some people out there working very hard. I know one that has wings and has a bunch of friends that have wings too, that have been working hard to believe you that why are you pursuing something so impossible? You're never going to look like your father. That's true if you keep listening to him. But if you listen to the one who creates you, who by his own grace or by his own actions, he's saying, I believe in you and I want to restore you. Allow me, please. And he strives to be completely holy. And the rest of the verse says, out of reverence to God. Some version says out of fear to God. I prefer this, out of reverence to God, out of respect to God. Because I respect God, because I revere Him, I want to be like Him. That is my goal. That is the only purpose for my own existence. But you must always act. What is act? Yes. Act is like your Heavenly Father. Always act like your Heavenly Father. Everything you choose, when you are about to do something, says, how does my dad, my Abba, think about this? Let me talk to him. Let me consult him. And then you make your decision. This is what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:48, Contemporary English Version. My dear friend, do not follow what is bad. Follow what is good. I have said to you here before, right? When you see somebody that constantly are talking about things that are good, don't you feel like it is a blessing to be in their presence? They open their mouth and all good comes out. They're going to go to eat. They want to eat something good. They want to dress. They want to dress something good. And guess what? They look for a company. And if they choose you, then you must be good. Because they are in a good business. They always like to surround themselves with good stuff. Let me just make a pause here to put something into here. Many people go out and are tempted to buy something cheap. Because they think that if you buy something cheap, I save money. Cheap means cheap. And why is cheap? Because it's not good. Brothers and sisters, don't be cheap with your life, with your choices, with your relationships. Don't be cheap. The price is too big. Do you know what they do with cheap things? You can use them just for a short period of time and then they break. And where do they go? To the trash. Do you think God created you to be disposed of? Don't be cheap with your decisions. Don't be cheap with your relationships. Choose quality. Choose things that will make you proud, blessed, to have something that lasts in your life. Choose well. Choose once. There are people that I heard one person that has married 8 different guys. And then the person says, oh, I had such a bad luck with men. You have to figure out, you have no idea how to choose. You keep picking make a bad choice and then blame everything else, but not only yourself. The one who does good belongs to God. This statement alone can carry the whole message, right? Yes. The one who does good belongs to God. The one who does not do good, what it belongs to? Evil. The bad one. But the one who does evil has never known God. I put the red there so you can see. You add the red with the red, what do you get? The devil. Yes, the one who does evil. You see, I do those things because sometimes these kids like this, or, you know, little kids, they see and they don't forget. That's my plan. I do this so that they can grasp the concept, okay? So the one who does evil is the devil, has never known God. What is to know in the Bible means? I know some of you think, oh, intimacy between a man and a woman. To know in the Bible means relationship, intimate relationship, to become one with. Okay? So it says the person who does evil has no communion with God. You can look in your Bible. It's not there, but it's in your Bible. Matthew chapter 7. Open, please, your Bibles. Matthew chapter 7. Chapter 7, 21, 22, and 23. Have you found? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, here is a discussion. Who is holy? Who is God's people? And Jesus Christ says to these people, because there he was talking, he was teaching us. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And there were people, religious people over there too. They were there to check him out, to see what he was saying, if they can catch him doing, saying something that they can use against him. And they were there. And Jesus talked to everyone, including them. He says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, we went to the kingdom of heaven. And I could see that religious people. He's not talking about me. You could see. You can imagine they look in. He's not talking about me. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who does my Father's will. That expression means the ones who are like my Father. The one who are as holy as the Father is. But then here comes these people with their acts of holiness. Verse 22. It says, but we cast out demons to prove that we are not with the demons. We push them out. At least we pretend that's what they meant. We perform miracles. All this in your name. And verse 23 says one of the saddest part of the Bible. Because believe me, no one wants to stay all their lives in the church and then hear what verse 23 says. What does it say? One of you would like to read it. Verse 23. What does it say? Anyone? Who wants to say? You go ahead, young man. With a very strong youth voice.
And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Thank you. I have no idea who you are. We have never become one. We have never been in relationship. That's what this verse means. Have never known God. Have never relationship with God. They claim to be holy, but they are not. And by the way, it is very important for us to know God and to be like God. But as he who called you, he is holy. You also should be holy. In all your conducts, everything you do, every aspect of your life. Because it is written, be holy, my child. I am holy. Your Abba is holy. Be holy. I'm going to repeat this a few times. Because I want you to really get into your holy temple up there. It says, be holy because I am holy. Holy, holy, and you guess what is the next word? Holy. Do you know that in the Bible, with all the attributes of God, none of them are repeated in the same place? You don't read in the Bible because God is love, love, love. You don't read in the Bible because God is good, good, good. But in Revelation, it says God is holy, holy, holy. And this is the basis for the hymn that we were singing, holy. Take that hymn and count how many how many times is mentioned holy in that hymn. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come. Three times. The one who was, the one who is, and the one who is still to come. Holy, holy, holy. And this is what we must be. Holy. Now, in conclusion for our message, we'll be singing, and I hope you reflect on the words of this marching to Zion. Remember, there's two groups that are marching to Zion. Did you know that? You look puzzled. Do you know that it's two groups that march to Zion? One group is marching to Zion to be saved and to live in Zion forever. 1,000 years later, another group decide to march against Zion. And kaboom, they are gone forever. Make a point to be in a first trip. Don't be 1,000 years later. Late, I should say. Don't be 1,000 years late. Don't be a minute late. Be on board. Seek holiness. Let's march to Zion. Please stand.